Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
In your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans. How many love the Word of God? Now, we're working on two series, a series called The Will of God on Sunday mornings. And we're working on what we call the basics. We're kind of looking at spiritual things, things about the Holy Ghost, things about the new birth, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, those sort of things that will help you grow in the things of God. Amen? Also, let me kind of a preview of coming attractions. We will begin School of the Spirit in April. It will run April through August. And I just kind of thought we'd just do some courses, but we're going to make that perpetual every year. From April to August, it's kind of going to be our Bible school season. So this year, it's going to be School of the Spirit. Next year, it'll be School of Faith, or School of Healing, or School of Evangelism, or School of Redemption. Whatever God says to do, we'll do it that way next year, amen. But this year, amen, it's going to be School of the Spirit. Glory to God. And I kind of laid it out the way we're going to do it. That's going to afford us about 20 classes, which I will take the majority of those, but I'll also bring in others, and we have others here in-house that we want to use them also to teach these courses and for it to be a blessing to you. Amen? How many like to know a little bit more about God? He loves you. I said He loves you. The book of Romans, let me get over there, chapter 6. Praise God. Romans chapter 6. Let's read there in verse... Let's start with verse 16. I'm going to read there a minute. We'll go back to chapter 5. It says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Everybody say obedience unto righteousness. It says, "But God be thanked that you were." Everybody say, "I was." You were the servants of sin. That's really a not as strong as a word as the original text. The original text is slave. And if you've ever been involved in sin, ever had a hold of your life, you know exactly what it's talking about. Amen? You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. Everybody say the heart. That form of doctrine. I like another translation that says that system of truth, which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants or the slaves of righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. Now notice, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity. One translation says the weakness of your flesh. Everybody say your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now, this is really very simple instruction and revelation in the Word of God about what you're supposed to do with yourself physically after you're born again. You got to give your body over to the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm going to come at this angle because I think it behooves us to understand this. Your expression or the way you express yourself when it comes to any information that's given to you is really a precursor of how you're going to respond to that situation. I know people have sat in front of doctors. We love doctors. We've got several doctors here in the church, and we just love them. They're men of God, women of God. But here's the thing. You can sit across from a doctor and he can give you a very negative report. Give you a death sentence right there in his office. Say you're going to die. But really you don't have to receive that. Based on how you respond to that is going to determine how you're going to get through that. I heard one minister, I'm not going to name his name. Maybe he'll come here one day and tell the story, but I heard him tell it personally. Of being in a doctor's office, having a lot of tests, a lot of, test run, blood test, all the other things they do, come back, and he had a problem with his heart. And as the doctor was telling him all this stuff about his heart, he just jumped up out of the chair and said, "That's a lie." And he just went off. Actually, it was such a violent, it wasn't confrontational when it came to fists, but what he was saying, The doctor just said, you need to find you another doctor. And he said, I've already found one. He's really not a doctor, he's a healer. And did you know what the doctor said within 2 weeks was totally and radically changed by the power of God because of his response and the way he responded to that report? Amen. So you got to understand that we get all kinds of reports all the time. And listen, with the way the world's going, we're going to all get reports, you know, that are going to be daunting, and we're going to have to know how to respond to them. Now, the Bible says here, as you used to yield your members. How many know what your members are? Little fingers, little toes, little feet, little hands, little eyes, little ears, all the members of our body. The Bible says, according to iniquity, we all at one time in our lives did what? We yielded our members unto iniquity. Now, what's unique to the human race is the human race still inherently has a force in it called willpower. Amen? Now, there are people that have used their willpower just to be good people. They really never got into sin, really never got into addictions, really never got into, you know, the type of lifestyles that a lot of people have led. But here's the thing. It doesn't make you any more or less a sinner. Just because you didn't yield all of your members totally to the iniquity that is on the inside of you, that doesn't make you any more or less a sinner, because we don't get born again by our good works. You start doing, I'm going to start doing some good stuff so God will recognize me. He won't. He does not recognize. The Bible says in the book of Titus, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. So we got to understand, church, any of you that experienced this, I know I did in life. You know, I grew up, I was a little Pentecostal kid, grew up in the AG churches, and then when I got out and got into sin, it had to be secret. I mean, I got away with it for quite a few years. But I remember the first cigarette I smoked, I remember the first beer I drank, and I remember the physical experience. Anybody remember your first cigarette? Why would you raise your hand? I'm just kidding. My first, I was a Winston guy, you know. That's what I ended up on. But I don't know what the first one was. Something nasty. And I remember, you know, you're with your buddies, and you know, you got to inhale it. Inhale it. What is that? So I inhaled it, and it like to kill me. My body had more sense than to suck in a bunch of toxic smoke. My lungs said no. My throat said no. My mouth said no. Then how'd I end up smoking 2 packs of Winston's a day? There's something. There had to be a force. There had to be a power stronger than my flesh. I remember the first beer I drank. I was about 16 years old. I was walking out of a rodeo in Pasadena, Texas. Some guy sitting over in the truck said, hey, Rusty, how about a beer? Sure, you know, I walk over there, Lone Star Long Neck. Back then, there wasn't a pop top back then. We had them church door keys, you know. And so I popped the top off that thing. It was icy cold. I drank it, and I'll never forget the first thought I had, Mark. I thought, of all the beers in that ice chest, I done went and grabbed a rotten one. But later on, I found out that's the way it tasted. So you yield yourself to this force in you. Now, this is what's unique about the human race. Children are innocent till the age of accountability. You say, what is the age of accountability? I don't know. It could be different for some people, maybe 8, 9, or 10. Others, it may be 4, 5, or 6. I don't know. But there comes a point in every person's life in which they wake up. Their consciousness comes fully awake or alive. And when they do, the motivation on the inside of them that empowers them to make choices is wrong, is messed up. It didn't come from God. It came from the devil. That's why when you raise children, you have to teach them what not to do as well as what to do. And actually, the Bible does not say to teach them. It says to train them. You say, well, what's the difference between training and teaching? One switch. I have one of the most well-bred, beautiful, almost purple black Labrador retrievers. And I hadn't taught her. I didn't teach her nothing. I trained her. She has been trained because she does not speak English. And I could tell her all day long what I want her to do, and she won't do it. And she's one of these soft dogs where you can't beat on them a lot. It just takes one little, you know, and she is a brand new dog. What do you want to do, Dad? Let's do it. You know what I mean? It's amazing. God wants to teach us the things of the Spirit, the things of faith, and He wants to teach us how to control our flesh, because whether you realize it or not, before you got born again, your flesh was out of control. Even if you weren't addicted to some drug, even if you weren't some kind of, you know, living some kind of adverse lifestyle, you still had that temper. You still had that anger. You still had that pain. You still had that hurt. But God says, I want you to yield yourself. Now, where you used to use your fingers to roll joints with, now roll them through the Word of God. Come on, church. I mean, where you used to, your feet used to take you to the, what was the old bar we used to always make fun of, Hard Time and Misery Saloon? You know, your that was literally the name of a bar here in Galveston, Hard Times and Misery Saloon. And the problem was it was always packed. I've always thought maybe I should have called my church, you're going to go to hell if you don't come here. Amen. But I mean, people, listen, they get caught up in sin. Sin catches you up and enslaves you. And the only thing that breaks that enslavement is the new birth. And it breaks it in the place that it needs to be broken, which is in your spirit man on the inside. But then you're stuck with this soul, with this mind, and with this flesh that just wants to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Because iniquity trained your flesh. But see, God's got an out for you. You say, what is that? Well, we know in Romans 12, He says to present your body a living sacrifice unto God, which is your spiritual worship. But now go to Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans 5. Now, before we read Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read one scripture up in Romans chapter 4. Speaking of Abraham, it says of him, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, or what He had promised, God or He was able also to perform. Now let me say that again. And being fully persuaded, everybody say fully persuaded, that what He had promised, God or He was able also to perform. Now let me just say right now, our God is a performing God. God watches over His word to perform it. I don't believe we should have church services without performances. Amen. Not man's performances, God's performances. Amen? But now notice it says here, Abraham was fully persuaded. All of us are in that process right now. The next big thing you're believing God for, you are in the process of full persuasion. When you are fully persuaded, God performs. The problem is we stand over here looking, seeking, watching for the performance when God says, don't stand over here. Stand over here and embrace the promise. Live in the promise. Don't live in the performance. Live in the promise, because the performance cannot persuade you, but the promise can persuade you of the reality of the performance. Did you get that? A lot of people are looking for their miracle, looking for their answer. Quit looking for your miracle. Quit looking for your answer and start looking unto Him, the author and what?
Finisher
of your faith. Now, you know that you that come here that have the Word of God taught to you. The Word of God is progressive revelation. As Isaiah says, line upon line, precept upon precept. So, coming down out of chapter 4, in this great study of the father of faith, Abraham, and God revealing to us by the Apostle Paul that Abraham's protocol in faith was that he was first fully persuaded. How was he fully persuaded? The promises that God gave him of being the father of many nations, of looking up into the stars and seeing all the stars, and God saying, so shall your seed be, and looking down at the sand and seeing all the sand, and God saying, so shall thy seed be, of God changing His name from chief shepherd to father of many nations, Abraham, the father of faith. Amen? So as we progress out of there into Romans chapter 5, now notice Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Everybody say peace. With God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that is some shouting territory right there. We have peace with God. Woo, glory to God. Isn't that what the angel said when they proclaimed it to the wise men? peace on earth, not goodwill among men, goodwill toward men. God fixed the breach that was between God and man so that man could have access to God again through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And through that, listen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I like the word therefore. I like what Brother Hagin used to say for years. He said, if you see the word therefore, back up and see what it's there for. Well, he's talking about faith. Chapter 4 is about faith and the father of faith, the application of faith, of being fully persuaded, of not considering things that are now dead. Amen? So he starts chapter 5, but then he says this, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Everybody say stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now notice that again. By whom? Who's the whom there? By whom? By Jesus. Also, we have access by faith into... Now notice this, very particular. I mean, I'm staying in the King James. Access by faith into... Now notice the term, this grace. Referring to specific grace. So what is this grace we're talking about? This grace, now listen to me, is the grace to go through it. Took Abraham 25 years. I don't think it's going to take you that long. Took Abram 25 years of God dealing with him, dealing with his eyes, dealing with his ears, dealing with his name, bringing him into covenant, cutting a blood covenant. It took 25 years. But Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And at a time in which it was totally impossible, his body had failed, his wife's body had failed, but God never fails. You missed a good time to shout. His body failed, her body failed, but God said, so shall thy seed be. Oh, glory to God. I got to be careful. I'll take off running. So there is a specific faith. Excuse me, there is a specific grace to walk in faith. That's why a lot of people never make it in faith because they've not appropriated the grace that they need to walk in the faith. So the devil uses the time factor to erode their faith. Look how long it's been. Look and see. You're not healed. Look and see. The money hadn't come in. See, the devil's always trying to deal within the realm of time because that's where he's stuck. But God doesn't care about the devil. He cares about you. So now notice this. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Now notice, what do we do in this grace? We stand. What does it say in Ephesians? Having done all? That's a lot of people's problem. They haven't done all. They're trying to stand, but they haven't done all yet. So the enemy comes in and digs out there. Actually, in reality, if I was teaching on faith, I would go this direction. Actually, the enemy is not after the faith part of how you believe. He's after the hope. Because faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. So he's trying to steal your expectancy where you no longer expect or you no longer hope. And faith just drifts off. That's why the Bible calls hope the anchor of the soul. Amen. So you got to get your soul anchored in hope. Now notice this. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now notice this. And rejoice. So now we're supposed to what? We're supposed to stand and we're supposed to rejoice. Amen. Now notice, what are we standing? What are we rejoicing for? In the expectancy of the glory or of the manifestation of what you're believing God for. In the expectancy, you have to have a grace to walk in faith. Listen. Don't come to me moaning and groaning about that building. You say, why? Because I have faith for that building. And we got that land in 2015. We're almost 10 years from when we bought that land. I got more faith today than I had 10 years ago. I have not let the time factor erode my faith. You say, why? Because I found out this works. Now notice what it says. It says, we rejoice. Actually, the word rejoice means to jump up, spin around 360 degrees, land on your feet and go, woo! But we don't rejoice. No, we. I caught you, Vicky. That's what we do. This is what I got for you, Jesus. Amen. And then we wonder many times, well, what? How come when I leave church? How come when I'm, you know, out, it gets to be Tuesday or Thursday, and I'm just driving, just can't wait. I want to get back. No, no. Listen, you can be built up every day. You can walk in joy every day. You can walk in glory every day. You can be one of those people that has that smile plastered on your face. And every time the Holy Ghost moves, you can be the first one to take off and run, take off and dance, take off and shout, because you don't need any incentive to do it, because you know you're God, amen, and you're glorying in the midst of your tribulation, we're fixing to find out in a minute, and so doing, you're activating all the attributes of God. Now notice what it says. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. So we got to stand, God. We got to stand, rejoice, and hope. So we need some access into this grace. So here's your key. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Let me try that again. And not only so, but we what? But now notice the term. We're believing God for His glory, but this is we glory. This is we glory. You know, go study the Psalms. David talks about his glory. Now, I went and read chapter 6, as ye yielded your members, servants unto unrighteousness, unto a righteousness. That means it gets worse and worse. Even so now, yield your members, servants unto righteousness, which produces holiness. Now, you know, we live in America. We have all these sports. We have all these things that you can do that can afford you opportunity for physical expression. Amen. I mean, we've got an A&M football player here. Raise your hand so everybody know who you are. Yeah, look, right there. Right there. Right there. Yeah. And Jesus is over here. Amen. We go to the football game. But see, you know, we graduated A&M in 73. We've made millions. We go to the first church and stand there for an hour and don't know why we're there. Flip a few coins into the bucket when it goes by. Never shout. Never dance. Not in church. No. That's not reverent. But when we get to call, feel. When you walk in and feel the Spirit. Spirit. Give them. And you know, by the third quarter, they're having to carry you out. Because you done went nuts. Shouting, running, lost it, you know, had a few, got under the influence. Come on, church. We're very adept at yielding our flesh to things that give us pleasure. But you've got to understand, yielding your flesh to Him gives him pleasure. Notice what this says, church. It says, but we glory. David talks about in the Psalms his glory. His glory. He was a king. He had glory as a king. He had glory as a priest. He had glory as a prophet. But he gave his glory to God. He danced before the Lord with all his might, made a spectacle of himself. Listen, it so offended his wife that she chastised him. But this is unique. She never conceived seed. I've noticed that people that are full of the Holy Ghost, that are unashamed to present their body a living sacrifice, that glory in their tribulations, that when you see them running or dancing or shouting, you know they're in a fight and they're taking their faith to another level by making that stand. And you can agree with that kind of faith. Listen, it's not running around the church after you've gotten the answer. It's not dancing in the church after you. No, it's before you. It's while the pain's still there. It's while you're suffering. It's when the money's not in the bank, but you make a decision. I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've delivered. And you begin to rejoice in your soul. Your soul begins to rejoice. Next thing you know, you can't contain it. It gets in your feet. It gets in your hands. You begin to shout. You begin to dance. You begin to thank God for your answer. Which means the worse that it is, the more radical you should be. The Bible says, tribulation, got an answer for your trouble. Got an answer for your trial. Got an answer for your tribulation. Get your glory out. Sure, you can give it to A&M. You can give it to the Texans. But don't keep it for them only. Bring it to the church. Give God your glory. Give God your glory. Give God your glory. Give God your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, mama. Come on. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you, church, the devil hates this. He wants you stoic. You know what that means, right? I don't know. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. People, I want patience and I want it now. Now, the word patience in the Greek is this, cheerful endurance with consistency. So I've used the illustration for years how you always run into people that, you know, you haven't seen them in church in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And then when you talk to them a little bit, you find out, well, they're not offended. They're not, you know, they just haven't been in church because they're going through something. They're going through something. See, we're going through some things. And so we haven't been able to come to church because we're going through some things, see. And when you go through some things, you don't need to come to church because they'll help you there. Yeah, did you get that?
Yeah.
When you're really going through it, you don't need to come to church because that's where you get help. Now, let me just ask you, what if you thought like that about other things in life? What if after the service, I walked up and said, man, have you eaten in the past couple of days? No. I said, well, come on, let me take you out. Well, let's go get something to eat. Oh, you know, I'm just too hungry to eat. That's like a lady saying that she's too, well, I'm just too ugly to go to the beauty salon, you know, beauty park. Well, you know, a little paint can help any old barn, you know. It sounds so abstract. Listen, it does. Doesn't it really sound abstract? For people to say things that would be just opposite like that. You know, I broke my leg. I'm too hurt to go to the hospital. You think, well, let's check their head too, because obviously they've... No. It's totally abstract. When you run into people that say, well, I'm just, you know, we're just going through. You need to grab them, because what do we usually do? We understand. Can we pray? Lord, help them to be blessed. Thank you, Jesus. That's when you should grab them and radically shake them and say, stupid, stupid, stupid. What do you mean staying out of church because you're going through something? That's the only place going to give you any help, and you're laying out of church when you're going through something. Honey, the church will help you get through it faster. It'll accelerate you through it. And that's the only place you can really get out and really glory in the midst of your tribulation, because then people see you and you have to do it unashamed and you have to do it without guilt and you have to do it in faith. And when you do it, what happens? Grace begins to fall into your life. Grace begins to come down because you're doing what? You're making that stand. You're rejoicing because your hope has not been eroded and it has not been destroyed by the clock. Now listen, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. The word patience is cheerful endurance with consistency. That means when it's not easy, you keep pressing forward. That when it's hard to give, when it's hard to tithe, whatever it's hard to do, always remember this about a hardness in an area of spiritual things. That's a place the enemy's trying to deny you access. The devil's trying to deny you access into prosperity, into healing, into the blessings of God, into the favor of God, into the destiny of your life. He is bumping up against that. He's trying to stop. But listen, when you make a decision, I believe I receive. Faith is on the inside of me. I'm making me a stand of faith. So devil, if you don't like it, if you don't like me rejoicing, if you don't like me glorying in my tribute, then you're just going to have to leave, because I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I'm going to shout. I'm going to give God the glory. I'm going to manifest my glory. I'm going to give it unto Him, and I'm fully expecting a grace to come on my life to help me get through what I'm going through. Oh, this is so good. How's my time? Oh, I'm doing good. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Now, God wants you to have some Holy Ghost experience. Yeah. Now, listen to this phrase. Experience is the best teacher. That is a lie. Revelation by the Holy Ghost is the best teacher. So many people preach their experiences. I'm not doing that. I'm preaching the Word. Because the Word's the only thing that's going to help. Listen, if I took off running and stuck my head in the wall and busted my head open, I had to have 40 stitches to shut up the gash, then I come up here next Sunday morning with my head wrapped in a gauze with a big old blood spot right here and say, I'm going to tell you my experience. That there's a board behind that sheetrock back there. And if you bust your head on it, you're going to get 46. Well, you sit back there and say, stupid, yeah, I could have told you that. There are some things you don't have to learn. God will get you around them. You don't have to learn them. You don't have to learn that stuff. God wants you to learn His Word. Amen. And the experiences of life are not your best teacher. The revelation of the Word of God that delivers you from the negative experiences of life, that is the experience God wants you to have. Where the devil looks at your resume, he sees where you had your foot on his neck in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, 2010s, the teens, the 20s. You've kept your foot on his neck. You've stood in faith. You believe. Listen, you've got some experience in the kingdom. You've got some experience. God wants you. Listen, He wants you to have a testimony. Did you get that? He wants you to have a testimony. All these preachers get up here and talk about my stories I tell. You know why I tell them? They're true. They happened to me. They were tests that became testimonies. Come on, church. And God wants you to know that's exactly what the enemy's design was for the church, was to shut them down into this religious organization with no life, no power, and no hope for the people that follow. But that ain't our Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's not some dead, dusty old religious organization, and He never produced one. What He produces is life in His people, life in His churches, life in what they do, life everywhere we go. And He says, listen, if you got a problem, you got a situation, I got your answer. Get into the Word of God. Let faith come to you. And when faith comes to you, you give expression to it. Now see, that was a key for me. When I began to learn redemptive truths were setting me free from 15 years of a horrible mindset, an addictive mindset, a mean mindset, a criminal mindset. I mean, it was set. And every time I'd get another revelation, I'd usually be in a hotel room or I'd be somewhere studying the Word. But one time when I was studying Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 12, it says, not by the blood of bulls and goats, by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I got a glimpse of the mercy seat and the glimpse of the blood on the mercy seat. And when I did, I got off my bed and started running around my hotel room. And I was going to jump out the window. I literally thought, I'm going to jump out this window. And I was four stories up, so I stopped. But I remember in that room, I don't know what I was doing. I was running, dancing, shouting, but it imprinted. Have you ever had, like, when they used to take those old flash cube photos, and then you'd have that kind of imprint in your, I've got that in my, I can see that, I can close my eyes, and I can see that mercy seat. And I can see that blood, and it's just like it just been applied. It's just, It's a color I can't explain. It's a texture I can't explain. But there's a glory that comes off of it that I can explain. And that glory says mercy. That glory says, I'll stop from happening to you what should happen to you because you're on that planet. I'll stop you from having to go to hell. I'll stop you from having to live in sickness and disease. I'll stop you from having to live in poverty and lack. The blood is proof that I have stopped it. Amen. I have stopped death, hell, and the grave. I'm thinking about all the effects that these things have on our lives and how minimal their effects are the closer you are to Him. The closer you are to Him. Hallelujah. Where's our praise team? Let's get them to come back. Glory to God. Let's get them to come back. Now, I'm going to do it just like the Spirit of God told me to do it. How's that? I can minister to you by the laying on of hands, the gifts of the Spirit. I was wondering how that was going to happen. I thought, Lord, what are we going to do? I was thinking about, will we just get Mark to come up and minister? And then they've got a powerful, and the Lord said, no, you do exactly what I tell you to do. Now, what's that second song we sang? I Want the Holy Ghost. Now, we sang that song. It was pretty sad. I'm the pastor, amen. Spirit of God said, if they will hear, if they will listen, this is your opportunity to glory in your tribulation. Now, we'll sing this praise song, and then I'll bring the service to an end, to a close here in a moment. But the Lord said, sitting right there, he says, now give them another opportunity, but teach the Word first. Teach the Word, but give them another opportunity. Now, I know he said that because what he's wanting to do is he's wanting the Spirit of God to fall in here. He's wanting it to come down on you to bring refresh. Some of you are either going through something or you've gone through something and you're just kind of like, well, thank God the Spirit of God's here this morning to refresh you, to strengthen you, to anoint your life, amen, and to help you recognize and realize, hey, it ain't over yet. It ain't over till you win. It ain't over till you get your answer. It ain't over till God shows up and performs His Word. Come on, church. And in the midst of that, you need to have a real change of attitude. You say, what do you mean a change? You need to give your glory to God. Give Him your glory. If you've got a shout in you, give Him your shout. If you've got a praise in you, give Him a praise. If you've got glory in you, give Him your glory. Stand on your feet. Go on, Brother Roland. Sing that song. Now lift your hands. Oh, come on, lift your hand. Beautiful anointing in here right now. Now lift your hands and worship Him. Now let's switch over into worship, church. Let's switch over into worship now. Let God move in you. Switch over to worship. We worship you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. Wonderful Lord Jesus. We bless you. We bless you. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord God. 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 Worthy are you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Lord God. We y'all have a worship song we could sing. Sing that worship song. Let's worship him today. Come on, church. Let's worship him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Father. Yes, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Lord, we worship you, Jesus, our King and Savior, Lord.
Now, churches, we worship. Hold on just a minute. As we worship, listen. Receive from God. You that the enemy is attacking your body, as you stand there in worship, you declare, I am the healed of God. And you declare to anything that's attacking your body that it cannot stay in the temple of the Holy Ghost. As you worship God, you believe you receive. Listen, if you need direction, if you need a word from God in your spirit to help you move forward in the things of God, worship, church, worship. The Syrophoenician woman, she did not understand God. She did not understand Jesus, but she worshiped and she got on that frequency and the Spirit of God delivered her child. Yeah, I desire to awaken your heart this morning. These are the last days. Soon your Savior will make an appearance in the clouds above you. But in the meantime, you must focus and be busy about the Master's business, for the world will begin to cry, help us, help us, help us. And no one will have the help, but you will. You will have the one who is the eternal helper. You will have the one who will manifest even in their lives and do a quick work. So stay focused and strong, for many around you are fixing to fall into the kingdom. Wow. Now lift your hands and thank God for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Father. We glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Now expect. This is a prophecy. Now expect the report to change. Expect the story to change. Expect the glory to come. Expect the answer to happen. You shall not be disappointed. You shall declare he is the God that does exceedingly abundantly. You shall see with your eyes and handle with your hands that which I will produce in these last days that will bring glory to my name and blessing to the church. Be strong and stalwart. Stand strong upon my word. These are the days of peril upon the earth. For your adversary, even now, sows seeds of unrighteousness and division in your heart. But this day, the garden can be cleansed, the weeds can be pulled out, and that which the adversary has destined you to follow will be thwarted, and you will enter back into the glory that God has reserved for you. So don't pull back or pull away, but press in and say, oh Lord, I need you more than ever. I want you more than life itself. You're the breath in my lungs, the blood in my veins, and you shall see that I shall visit you both personally and corporately to keep you strong and moving forward, so that this will conclude in your blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now lift your hands one more time and let's thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I just feel in my spirit, we just need to pray. We didn't get it done at the first of the service for these folks in Tanzania. I'm going to call Egan as soon as this is over and find out. Where's Caitlin at? Is she here this morning? Bassbinder? Sweetie, did you hear about that? Have you heard about that? Okay. Praise God. Let's pray one more time. To lose 11 premier missionaries. That's the devil, man. That's the last days devil. And I pray that people have revelation that we do. Look, church, God has watched over Psalms 91. To perform it here at Island Church. Amen. Church, we've traveled all over the world. We've been in places that are very precarious. They travel in very precarious areas. God can keep you, but you got to know how to be kept. Father, we do. I don't feel like we finished. Pray, church. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. This is serious, Lord. This is a serious attack against the move of God in Africa. Lord, even as Caitlin prepares to do her part, devil, you're a liar. I bind the spirit of grief in the name of Jesus. You will not overtake that organization in the name of Jesus. We surround them with faith and love. We surround them with faith and love. We speak comfort. We speak comfort. We speak comfort. In Jesus' name. Lord, let that campus in Kona, Hawaii, let it erupt with praises. Let that campus, let the Holy Ghost be poured upon that campus, Lord. Lord, I know those men and women, they're going to raise their hands in your presence. In the midst of all that grief, they're going to lift their hands. They're going to worship you. They're going to praise you, Lord God. We thank you that you show up, that the testimony of what you do will resonate around the world and thousands and millions will come to Jesus. I know, Lord, I know that. I know it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now we'll close with this. You can go be seated. Be seated for just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mark and Victoria, would y'all do us the pleasure of coming and ministering for us sometime? We'll get you on the schedule, let you come. Y'all come around here. Y'all such a blessing to be here for our conferences and everything. We want y'all to come do a Sunday for us. I actually want you to come do a mission Sunday so y'all can do two services. So we'll get you on the calendar to do that. Listen, there's always going to be a strong pull of the adversary to deceive and to get you out of the glory of God. Sometimes it just takes a little bit. Sometimes it takes years. But if you allow the adversary to run his scam on your life, he'll pull you out of the glory of God right at the time in which the glory of God is falling in the earth. You've got to fight to stay in it with everything that is in you. And if you will do that, you will have the most great... Can you imagine the experience of all the people on the earth? There's going to be close to 9 billion of us as these things conclude, as this dispensation comes to an end, as the whole world changes and moves toward a 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus. So many are going to experience... Their only testimony of this time is going to be the trauma of it, except for a remnant of people in the church, the true church of the Lord Jesus. You claiming you're the true church? Well, I claim we're something. We line up with the book of Acts. We line up with the book is all I can say. If it's in the book, that's what we are. Don't let the devil steal your heart. Don't let him put an offense on the inside of you by drinking of the offense of others. We pray for every offended person, every person that's hurt, every person they feel like they've been wronged. We pray for them and we pray for restoration for them. But you don't have to partake of that poison because that's what it is. Keep your hearts pure. Keep your testimony strong. Keep your consecration to the corporate side of this. Keep that strong. But give your life to the personal side of this. Tell God, I'm yours. I don't need to go to the altar and consecrate, commit. I'm yours because you're mine and I'm yours. And I guarantee you, this will be the most glorious. We will have that test. Just imagine 500 years into the millennial, you're walking down the street somewhere and somebody stops you because by then we'll have a glorious reputation. And they say, I heard that you were alive back there in 23, 24, 25, right in there, right? I heard that you went up in the rapture. What was that like? And you can say, let me tell you what that was like. That was so cool. Because see, as you're going up, everything negative about your body is staying here on the earth. Your body becomes glorified. You come out of the natural realm, and what is in the spirit takes your flesh and your blood over, and you become glorified. Do you think about those things? Do you think about your feet losing gravity and you departing the earth? The Bible says we should comfort one another with these things. That brings us comfort. It's not escape theology. Amen. I like what Joe Moore says. It's a get ready. This is the 2-minute warning. We need to, you know what 2-minute warning's all about. That's intense. That takes the game to another level. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. One more time. Lift your hands. Father, we worship you this morning. Now, before we leave, Lord, we want to make sure everybody is right with God, knows you, loves you, We thank you that people that get right stay right. So put your hands down just for a moment, every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment. Say, if you say, Pastor Rusty, I'm not living right. I'm not doing right. I need to be right with God. Maybe you've never been saved, born again. That's very simple concept to understand. We're born into a family. Sure, the Smiths, the Jones, the Martinezes, whatever. But we're all born into the human family. The human family is cursed. That's why Jesus came, so we could be born again. So if you've never been born again, it's so simple. All you do is ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. He's already become that 2,000 years ago when he rose from the dead. All you have to do is allow him to take that position in your life. Or if you're here and you are saved, but you've not been serving God, or if you've got some offense in you, if you've got something in you that's just eating away at your joy, eating away at your victory, then get right with God and stay right. So while every head is bowed, nobody's looking around but me and my ushers are helping me. If that's you, we're going to pray a simple prayer. We're not going to ask you to the altar or anything. We're just going to pray a simple prayer and believe God. Everyone is right when they leave. So if that's you, you say, Pastor, count me in on that prayer. Would you raise your hand real quick and put it down? Praise God. One hand, two hands, three, four, five, six. You can put you down once you've raised it. Anyone else? Quickly, raise your hand. Anyone else? That's six people. There's another. There's seven. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I see your hand, Jack. Yes, sir. Absolutely. So let's all stand. Let's all stand. And you six that raised your hand, make sure you pray out loud so your own ears hear what your word is, your own ears hear what your mouth is saying. And after you pray the prayer, as you're leaving, there at the visitor center, or the, you know, our granite countertop there, stop and get my three books. If you've not got them, get them. Amen. If you've got them, read them. Has anybody read my books yet? Three people. Was it a good book, Captain? Come on. Real easy stuff. Stuff you already know, isn't it? It just helps you, it just helps reinforce it. Amen. Praise God. Out loud, everyone. Heavenly Father, right now, openly and publicly, I confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, God. You sent your only begotten Son, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, did signs, wonders, and miracles, died on the cross, rose from the dead, did it all for me. I believe it. I receive it. I accept it. Areas of my life that do not please you, Lord, I appropriate the blood of Jesus right now. Father, forgive me. I receive your blood. Thank you that you restore me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. As I stand here at Island Church, the last Sunday of February, 2024, I'm born again. I'm right with God. I've gotten right. I'm going to stay right. Devil, look at me. I am not yours. Get out of my life in Jesus' name. Jesus, look at me. I'm yours and yours alone. I take my life, I put it into your hands. In your precious name, I pray. And everyone says, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, rejoice with them. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Now, Father, thank you for this day. We never, ever take it for granted that you move in this house. Father, we thank you for what you orchestrate. Jesus, you're the Word. Thank you for what you demonstrate. Spirit of God, you abide and empower. Thank you for what you manifest. We leave today claiming our protection, claiming our safety. Devil, get out of our lives. The devil, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We stand on Psalms 91. No evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh us, not only us, but also those that are not here this morning and all of our loved ones. Those that we minister to, those in our family, we declare divine protection and safety in Jesus' name. On these highways, these airways, the railways, any other way of travel or transportation, the seaways, thank you for your protection and your safety. Lord, we thank you also that we're each and every one ambassadors of Christ. Stir our spirit man on the inside. There are people crying out to you right now on Galveston Island, in Galveston County. Let us be an answer to their prayer, a problem to the devil, a miracle in their lives. Lord God, we leave today walking in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you have called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church, we're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, anointed by the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus.